babe.
How you doing?
Good to see you.
Is this it? Are these all the words? Well, I like to sing I'm on the winning side, but I just found out that I'm a little bit here and I can't find the words. And so what we're going to do is I'm just going to open up with prayer. I'm going to open up with announcements and do offering, let him play instrumental. I'll call y'all up and sing in a minute. Okay? Yeah. Brother Al. What's up, brother?
What's up?
Don't worry about it. We got enough? For the choir?
All right, what about the word? What about the word, brother? You got him? All right. All right. Calvary Choir. Let's gather up some choir members tonight. Come on up. We got a special we're going to sing. I appreciate it. Last minute directions here. Thank you so very much. While they're coming up, welcome everybody to our Sunday night service. Good to see you. Boy, is it miserable looking outside. Wow, it is miserable looking. But it's looking good in here. Nice and dry. The Lord's here. You're here. Appreciate Brother Randy working all things together for good. And Brother David in the back, appreciate each and every one of you. You glad you're here tonight? Say amen. And good service this morning. Appreciate the Lord. And sharing our heart, the heart of conviction. And appreciate each and every one of you. And let me mention a couple things before. I'll tell you what. I'm going to mention a couple things. We're going to pray. And then we're going to jump into our one song tonight. And then I have we have a special before preaching time tonight. But let's just remember this coming up Thursday, the ladies' prayer brunch at 11 o'clock in the fellowship hall, and they'll be working on the somebody help me outreach. I don't know why I have so much trouble with that operation. Yeah, because of my OCD, I have trouble with the OCC. Yeah. So remember that. Yes. Thank you. All the boxes have to be in by the 17th, November 17th, right?
Yeah.
November 17th, next Sunday. So this is going to be a mad dash to get those ready if you want to get those ready. So remember that. Also remember the 24th is on the Sunday p.m. is going to be our Thanksgiving dinner, and so I got a sign-up sheet for that. All right, well, do you know you're saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, guess what? If you're saved, you're on the winning side. Even on your worst day, my worst day, we can be losing and feel like we're losing, but even when we're losing, we're still winning because we're on the winning side. So you pray for us this evening as we sing this song. Let's stand, choir. Hold on one second. Do you need them? Okay.
Thank you.
right.
Hey, like I said, praise the Lord, we're on the winning side. What a blessing. Okay, we have our ushers come on down forward tonight, and we'll receive the Sunday night offering. Just remember everybody on the prayer list, and pick up a bulletin if you don't have one already to stay up to speed on what's going on. Okay, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. And then just after that, the girls are going to sing one before I preach. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. Lord, you are our victory. And Father, we're thankful we're on the winning side. I pray you bless this offering, Lord. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church and on foreign fields. Lord, just help us honor you with the first fruits of all of our increase. We're just thankful, Lord, for our church family tonight. Pray, God, that you give us fresh words this evening. It's a brand new service. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. You pray for the girls tonight as they sing, "There Was Jesus."
I tried to make it on my own. Every time I tried to sit and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I've traveled, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, the friends I had are nowhere to be found. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. It was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. This man who needs a man think so. I thank God every day. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. In the mountain, in the valleys, there was Jesus. In the shadows of the alleys, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. No, never walk alone.
Praise the Lord tonight. Has Jesus ever showed up in your equation? And I know he has ours. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, girls. Appreciate you being here tonight. And want to mention some things tonight out of the Old Testament book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 7, if you would, for a few moments. Ezra chapter number 7. And again, it's been a good day in the house of the Lord today, as it is every time we get a chance to meet. But we want to mention some things tonight that hopefully will be a help and a challenge as well. And so I want to bow forward a prayer, and then we're going to read out of Ezra 7, verse number 9 and 10. Father, I pray that you bless your word tonight. Holy Spirit, communicate it to the hearts of your people, I pray, dear Jesus, that I would be set aside. I don't want my agenda to be fulfilled but yours. Pray my words be your words. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ezra chapter number 7, verse number 9. For upon the first day of the first months began he, Ezra, to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem. And notice this, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. I'm going to stop there. That's reading Ezra chapter number 7, verse number 9, and verse number 10. Ezra is one of those people that is not talked about that much, preached about in church. Of course, he is some. But I like to talk about Ezra tonight. That's not my official title. In my summarization, in my introduction, I like to mention some things about Ezra and about this book leading up to chapter 7. Ezra was a priest, but he was not able to serve in the temple because it was destroyed. you know, having a desire to serve God and no place to serve God has to be a restless feeling. And this was Ezra. He was a priest but was not able to serve in the temple at that time because it was destroyed. This could be the very reason why we don't hear a lot about Ezra in Scripture, is because of that truth. He was not able to serve there with his temple duties. Ezra is noted for other things, though, such as his studying of the Word of God. This same chapter, verse number 6, the Bible says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses." So Ezra is known for his studying of the Scriptures. If you go back, and we don't have time tonight, but if you go back to Nehemiah 8, you'll find out that Ezra was a revivalist. A revivalist. God used him to bring revival to the people of God. When Ezra began to read the Word of God, the Bible talks about he stood upon the platform behind the pulpit. And I still like to use the word pulpit, and I like to preach from a pulpit. Pulpits are biblical. Pulpits are biblical. And no knocking on any church or churches that do away with the pulpits, but I like standing behind the pulpit to preach God's Word on a raised platform. That's what Ezra did. And he read the Word of God. And so he was a revivalist. But also, many commentators believe that he wrote Psalm 119. That may be a good argument there. Some believe David did. Some believe Daniel may have. But some believe Ezra. And some commentators even believe that Ezra wrote 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I don't know. You'll just have to dive in the Scriptures and find out for yourself. But as we look at his life tonight, it is clear to see that he was a man and he had a life that was built upon and around God's Word. In fact, the very theme of this book means the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord. Let me give you some background of this book. God's people had been in Babylonian captivity. We have the first group of Jews, and they are seen going back to Jerusalem here. Ezra chapter number 1, with permission of King Cyrus, Zerubbabel led them out of Babylon and to Jerusalem. Ezra chapter number 3, we see that the altar was rebuilt and worship was established. The temple foundation was laid. And so we see the beginning of the rebuilding of the temple. But then in Ezra chapter number 6, we see that the temple was completed and dedicated. Now we come to Ezra chapter number 7 on his return from Babylon to Jerusalem with the second group of exiles. His return is authorized by King Artaxerxes. Mentions him in this chapter. Along with Ezra, we have Nehemiah. They worked together on this project. Of course, Ezra was a priest. Nehemiah was a builder and a leader. And so that's a great pair to have. A priest on one hand, builder and leader on the other. Along with Haggai and Zechariah, they set out to rebuild the temple. Now the Bible tells us in verse number 9, that latter part, if you notice with me, the Bible says, according to the good hand of his God upon him. He's talking about his leaving of Babylon and going back to Jerusalem. He says that God's good hand was upon him. And the question is tonight that I want to ask all of us, why was the good hand of God upon Ezra? And my other question is, how do we get the good hand of God upon us? My title is The Good Hand of God. The Good Hand of God. I don't know about you tonight, but I want God's good hand upon me, my life, my family life, my family's lives. I want the good hand of God upon Calvary. I don't know about you tonight, but it's good to have the good hand of God upon your life. When God's good hand is upon your life, there's going to be peace there. There's going to be safety there. When God's good hand is upon your life, there's going to be ability. There's going to be protection. There's going to be spiritual prosperity when the good hand of God is upon your life. There's going to be provision. There's going to be assurance. There's going to be boldness when the good hand of God is upon your life. There's going to be purpose when the good hand is upon your life. Don't know about you tonight, but I want the good hand of God on my life day in and day out. And so tonight, I just really don't see how people do life without the good hand of God upon them. I don't see how people face storms without God's hand on them. I don't see how they face medical problems and financial problems and all of these things without God in their life. I just don't see it how the lost gets by. So tonight, the good hand of God. Let's look at how Ezra got the good hand of God upon him. Number one, Ezra, this is how Ezra got the good hand of God upon him, or how the good hand of God was upon him. Number one, Ezra prepared his heart. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, that first word, for. And so he says, I'm going to back up. Verse 9, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For, this is telling us how he left Jerusalem, why he left Jerusalem. This is telling us his the reason why God's good hand was upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Tonight, if we want the good hand of God upon us, we must prepare our hearts for His touch. We must prepare our vessels to be used by Him. Tonight, if you were to go into a restaurant, let's just say Waffle House. I'm not trying to ruin Waffle House for everybody. But if you were to go to Waffle House and sit down and eat a meal, and they bring you your silverware out, and you look at your fork, and there's a hunk of something on there, dried up, you wouldn't use that utensil, would you? You want something clean, something that's been washed and steamed with hot water, something clean and usable. And that's the same way with us. God doesn't use dirty vessels. He doesn't use dirty vessels. He uses clean vessels. He uses not perfect people, but He uses a prepared people. Ezra was that man. He was a prepared man. Ezra prepared his heart by seeking the Word of God. He wanted to know what God had to say in the Word of God. He wanted to know. He wanted to have knowledge of God's Word. Again, he was a ready scribe. He wanted to know what to do in life and what not to do. He loved God's Word, and he prepared his heart with God's Word. You don't have to turn there, but I'll give it to you. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, in verse number 17, the Bible says this, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto them. And so God uses those who are upright in heart. You don't got to be a perfect person for God to use you.
But your ship has to be pointed in the right direction for God to use you. So tonight we see that Ezra had, he had a prepared heart. Ezra's heart was prepared with the Word of God for life. God's good hand was upon Ezra. But you want to know something? God's hand isn't upon everybody. God's hand isn't upon everyone. Why is that? Because God's hand is never on a person unless they have prepared their heart to be used by God. God uses those who are prepared. Listen, we have some, I'm sure, in our church world and around the world today that there's some who ran into the church that has been running with the devil and the devil's crowd all week. There are some probably who darted in church today all week. They've been thinking the wrong thoughts, entertaining the wrong thoughts, doing wrong things, speaking wrong things. And now it's Sunday and they want to be used by God. I want to say God just doesn't use those who crack open their Bible occasionally or eat junk, so to speak, all week and then want to come feast at His table. God doesn't use those kind of people. But God uses those whose hearts are prepared. We have to decide if we want to be used by God. And if we do, we need to allow Him to use us. And Ezra knew that God doesn't work that way. And so therefore he prepared his heart. We must have a prepared heart to receive the blessings of God in our life. Someone says, I just don't get anything from that preacher or that church. Let me ask you a question. Have you prepared your heart? Have you prepared your heart? It may not be the preacher. It may not be the church. It may not be the Sunday school teacher. It may not be the people. It may be you. It may be you. We have to prepare our hearts if we want the good hand of God upon us and if we want Him to use us. Listen to this. You remember the story with a woman of issue of blood? She was in a large crowd. She reached out and touched the Lord. What did Jesus say? What did He ask? He said this in question form. Who touched me? Who touched me? Jesus recognizes faith. Jesus recognizes those who are eagerly working through the crowds of this world to get a touch from God. He recognizes that. How could that be? I mean, you have to be Jesus to know who touched you. Are you kidding? It was a crowd of people that day. I'm sure many people, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But here was a woman who was sick. She had went to many doctors trying to fix her issue of blood, her blood problem. And the Bible says she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She was at wit's end. She heard Jesus was passing by. And by the way, Jesus was on His way somewhere else. And He stopped because He recognized true faith. He recognized someone in anguish. He recognized someone who needed help. If we prepare our hearts, God recognizes that preparedness. God can use you tonight. You can touch Jesus, and Jesus can touch you. Jesus recognizes the true worshipers out of a large crowd tonight. And so we have Ezra in his prepared heart. That's how he had the good hand of God upon him. Think about Joseph. And everywhere Joseph went, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He was thrown in a pit, sold into slavery. He went to the palace, but then he was thrown into prison, lied upon by Potiphar's wife. But even through all those situations, God was with him. God was moving. God was working. And listen, the Lord, He knew the heart of Joseph. He knew he'd been lied on. He knew that he was in a bad situation, but God still delivered him and still moved on him and used him. God uses those whose hearts are prepared. So if you're wondering, is a Christian life worth it? Let me tell you, yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. Not only to get saved and know you're going to heaven, but to have God's good hand upon you and to be used daily, and when storms come, to know with confidence God is seeing you through. There's nothing that can replace that feeling. Nothing. What a blessing it is to go after God and desire to have His good hand upon us. And so Ezra comes out of Babylon to Jerusalem because of the good hand of his God upon him, and his hand got there because his heart was prepared. Number two, not only Ezra prepared his heart, but Ezra pursued the word. That's how the good hand of God was upon him. Ezra had, verse 10, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Ezra loved God's word. Listen, I know that we can't get the Bible and go sit down somewhere in the corner and read 24/7. I know that. Okay, we have jobs, we have school, we have things like that. I mean, we're not scribes. You know what I'm saying? You know, we don't go to the temple every day and stay there and study all day long, and you know, things like that. But you got to have a desire, and sometimes more than necessary food. God, I want to know what you want to do in this situation. God, I want your hand upon me. Lord, what do you say about this? What do you say about that? Ezra pursued God's word. God's hand is on people who are word pursuers of His. You know, one of the greatest joys that I have is when I stand up here, and I know Ceylon, other Sunday school teachers, preachers, one of the greatest joys I have in preaching is seeing hungry hearts waiting to hear from God. You know what I'm saying? Brother Allen, God gives you a word, brother. You pray over it. You study it. You can barely sleep that night because you're excited about what God has showed you. And then you come into God's house and everybody's like, we're ready. We're ready. Bye. Feed the sheep. What? We're ready to eat. And on any given Sunday, you got a mixed crowd. You have those who are on the mountain. You have those who are in the valley. You have those who everything is going good in their life, and you got those who their lives are falling apart. And to me, it is an overwhelming, amazing call. It's an honor to be able to preach and stand and study and seek out a message and then come in here with hungry hearts and preach it. There's nothing like it. Listen, and we know you desire God's word. You're here tonight. I desire God's word. Ezra desired God's word, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And so we see that anytime God's hand is on someone, it's because they're pursuers of God's word. Their perspective in life is different. They know they have a purpose. They understand God is providential. They know God is for them. I love this quote someone said a long time ago. A Bible that's falling apart is a life that's not. A Bible that's falling apart is a life that's not. God's good hand is upon them who read His word because they understand the ways of God. You can be going through a storm. You can be experiencing tragedy, and you're not excited jumping around. Yay, we're going through a big storm. But you feel like you're being carried. You know God has a purpose. You know He's with you. And you know that if God is for you, who can be against you? And so you faithfully and steadfastly move forward in faith. Pursuers of God's word, His hand is on those kind of people. We should desire God's word. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's just a natural thing to desire God's word if you're a child of God. Think about it. Child of God. Child. A child, a baby is born. What do they want? They want milk. They want to eat. And so you feed them. And that ought to be a natural thing for a born-again believer, is that we crave God's word. We should desire God's word, but we should delight in God's word. Psalm 119, verse 16, the writer says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I'll do it. That's what he says. So tonight, this should be our attitude with God's word. Again, we can't lock ourselves in a room and, you know, be like a monk and put, you know, this shawl over our head and seek God 24/7. But we can, each and every day, consider Him. Grab a verse, one verse. You know what I do sometimes? Sometimes you can get defeated before you get started reading God's Word if you're not careful. Oh, I got to read a chapter. I got to understand the book of Revelation. I got to do that. No. Open the Bible, find a word or a sentence, okay, a verse, that jumps out to you, speaks to you. Close your Bible up. Think about that word or sentence all day long. Earlier in my Christian experience, I fell in love with 1 Peter 5:7, I believe it is. 1 Peter 5:7. What does that say? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I can remember a particular time where I was going through something, and I read that verse, and I just spent the whole day dissecting it in my head, casting all my care on Him. And I would speak to myself, you know, that's what meditation is. It's not only God's word getting into you, but it actually means to mumble. And I'm thinking, going through my head with that verse, casting all my care. That means that, for He careth for me. That means God cares about what I'm concerned about. And so this thing that I feel so isolated that I'm going through, guess what? God not only knows about it, but He cares about it. And so that's one of the verses. That's one of the verses. And of course, the very next verse, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And it just goes on and on and on. God cares about us, and so let us cast our care on Him. What's the consequence of not doing that? We have an adversary to worry about. You got a choice to make. Are you going to keep carrying it and battling the devil on your own? Or are you going to work at your casting skills? And keep casting. You gave it to God, it comes back a minute later, give it back to God. You gave it to God, it comes back an hour later, give it back to God. You gave it to God, it comes back a day later, give it back to God. It keeps coming back, you give it back. Listen, sometimes it's a tennis match. But keep giving it to the Lord, because He truly cares. You know, there's something about the art of casting. A couple years ago, I preached on that verse several times since we've been here, but I brought my cast net in one time. And I learned this when we were living in Pascagoula, Mississippi. I learned how to throw a cast net, Brother Jeff. And I'll never forget, it's like riding a bicycle. Grab that cast net, you know, roll the line up my hand, put the slack up, get some of the weights, throw it over my shoulder. And of course, this is different than Bible days, but similar. The principle is this, the idea is this, is you get that cast net and you're holding it, you get some momentum, you let it go. And that thing fans open like this, drops, and those weights, you pull it in, it's pulling everything in. And man, I caught some weird fish in my time. Yeah. Weird. This one time I caught a fish, it had one eyeball. I said, what kind of fish is this? And I mean, it was like flat. It was looking up at me with an eye. I was like, what in the world is this thing? Come to find out, it's a flounder. a flounder. You know that term? Quit floundering around. That's pretty much where it came from. And so the idea is, it took time to learn how to cast that thing. And when I learned how to cast a 4-foot cast net, I wanted to learn how to cast a 6-foot cast net. And then anything over 6 foot is big, but they got 10 foot, 15 foot. They got little guys out there on the shores and coastlines casting big 10, 15 foot cast nets. Little guys, little strong beach guys. But it's a skill that you learn. And I wish tonight that I could just grab a care and cast it on the Lord and it could just be done. But you see, our hearts are saved and our minds are not saved. And listen, there's a scripture that talks about the arrow that flieth by day. You know there is an enemy that likes to shoot arrows at you every day. Let's see how I can get Dion in the morning. Oh yeah, I watched him last week. He struggled in this area. I'm going to put this thought in his mind. You're not going to make it through this week. Brother Allen, let's. Yeah, this thought he struggled with. Right there. Got him. He ain't going to make it through lunchtime on Monday. I love you guys, praying for you. I'm just telling you, sometimes that's how the devil works. He likes to get us before we even get started. And so we pick a verse and go to town on it. Because God's good hand is upon those who love His Word, who goes after His Word. Listen to preaching on the radio. Listen to preaching on TV, YouTube, whatever. Just get the Word of God in. Get it in. All right? And so we see that Ezra, he practiced the Word of God. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Excuse me, Ezra pursued the Word. All right. Ezra, he not only pursued the Word, but Ezra prepared his heart. But number three, Ezra's practice of the Word is what we see. Ezra prepared his heart. Ezra pursued the Word. But then we see Ezra's practice of the Word. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And here it is. And to do it. George Mueller said this: the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. Again, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. So we must read God's Word, but we must heed God's Word. And I want to say this. It might hit you a little funny, but listen to me when I say it. I've not lost my mind. The truth won't set you free, but knowing the truth will set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many people have a head knowledge of the truth that are in bondage tonight? And so it goes beyond a head knowledge, but it ought to be a heart knowledge. We ought to put it in shoe leather, because the truth of God's Word can set us free, but we've got to practice what we preach. What if doctors and surgeons went to school but never put that knowledge into practice? What a shame that would be. What if a person went to school for a number of years to be a doctor, and then they graduated and went back home, sat behind the TV? Well, number one, there would be a lot of hurting people out there that need them. But number two, that knowledge did absolutely nothing for them, because they're not practicing what they learned. For some, for there's some Christians out there today that no doubt they've been saved and they've read the Bible or they're reading the Bible, but they're not practicing the Bible. What good is a Christian who doesn't practice the Bible? We're living in a world where there's a lot of hurting people out there. And everything that we know about God's Word needs to be shared. What good is a surgeon who doesn't practice? What good is a Christian that doesn't practice? So let's practice what we read tonight. Let me mention one more thing, and we'll be through this evening. Ezra's practice of the Word, but Ezra's preaching of the Word. When God's good hand is upon us, we will want to share God's Word. Look what he says in verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Again, we go back to our main subject, and that is that Ezra, he was leaving Jerusalem or Babylon and going to Jerusalem, and the good hand of God was upon him, for he prepared his heart. He sought God's Word. He practiced God's Word, but then he preached God's Word. Tonight, when God's good hand is upon you or me, we will want to share God's Word because that's what we're here for. God's Word was precious to Ezra, therefore he wanted to share it. I want you to notice something else in here. It was impossible for Ezra not to share God's Word. Look what he says. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Everybody wants to be like Brother Ceylon. Nobody wants to step on toes or offend anybody. But God's hand was on Ezra. Not only did he teach statutes, but he said, judgment is coming. He says, get right with God. Ezra was a man of God. He was a priest. He was a prophet even. And he preached. He read God's Word. And he even mentioned his statutes and judgments. Ezra was another Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he said, Lord, I'm not going to mention your name anymore. I'm in prison here for preaching your Word. I'm a derision to my people. Daily, they mock me. They make fun of me. And all this has happened because I'm following you, Jesus. I ain't going to mention your Word anymore. Yeah, how long did that last? The Bible says, but his Word was shut up in my bones like a fire. And I could not stay. Jeremiah, listen, God got a hold of Jeremiah. God put his Word inside of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, I'm not going to mention no more your name anymore. I'm not going to preach anymore. All that didn't work. I'm going to preach God's Word. Sometimes we are bearers of God's Word, and not only are we called to share the good news, but the bad news as well. There can't be any good news without bad news. What's the bad news in God's Word? The bad news is we're all sinners. We're all hell-bent, born to this world, depraved. We are natural brute beasts. We're not seeking after God. We don't know God. But the good news is Jesus came to die for such sinners as we are. He didn't have to. He didn't owe it to anybody. But God the Father deposited himself in a virgin womb, the Lord Jesus, and was born, and he walked among men, and he was a carpenter for 30 years, and then he got into his public ministry. John says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He did miracles. He did all of those things. He preached the gospel. He was betrayed in the garden. He went to the cross. He bled. He died. He was buried, and he resurrected again. That's the good news. But the Bible has what a lot of people deem bad news, but it's just a setup for good news. It's a setup for good news. And so it was impossible for him not to share the statutes and judgments of God. God's good hand was upon him. And so the word of God was coming forth from him. And those who the good hand of the Lord is upon, they will say edifying things to people. They will encourage people. They will use the word of God to encourage people. They will share the word of God with people. They will esteem others better than themselves. And all of those things, they will forgive. They will do all of those things that are listed in the Bible. Why? Because the good hand of God is upon them and they love the word of God. So tonight, I want God's hand on me, don't you? Day in, day out. Listen, not just behind the pulpit. Someone said one time, it don't matter how high you jump on Sunday. It matters how straight you walk on Monday. I want God's hand on me out there. I don't want to trip and fall that over the snares the devil has for me. And the devil has them for you too. But let's go after God. Let me mention this and we're done. I'll just give it to you. 2 Timothy 2:2 says this, Paul speaking, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's what Ezra was doing. He was teaching others also. And that's what we're called to do, is to teach others also. God's hand is upon them that share the gospel. God's hand was upon Ezra. We see Ezra's preaching of the word, Ezra's practice of the word. We see Ezra pursuing the word, and we see that Ezra prepared his heart. That's the message tonight. It's talking about the good hand of God. Do you want it tonight upon your life? You can have it. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the service tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. We're just thankful that you have something different, God, every time we meet. And we're thankful for that. God, help us all to just launch out into this week, this brand new week, Lord, going after you. Lord, if there's some things that we need to change in our life, make some adjustments, help us be willing to make some adjustments. Nothing's ever going to change if we don't make any adjustments. And so, Father, we're just thankful tonight for who you are and for what you do. Be with us as we go our separate ways this evening. Keep us safe, oh Lord, from day to day. Bring us back safely on Wednesday. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. All right. Does anybody have anything tonight? Anything to mention? Thank you for coming so very much. Hope you got something tonight. We'll just dismiss with that prayer. Everybody have a blessed week.